Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, dear saints of God. Good evening and welcome to another daily edition of Contending for the Faith with yours truly, Moses Henry Jones. Well, we're in studio today to continue our series on Jensen Franklin. That's right. And the series is entitled, How Spiritually and Biblically Retarded is Jensen Franklin? And my conclusion is that the man is very, very, very retarded, or another way of putting it is he's super duper retarded. The number here for Mr. Jensen Franklin to call if he has grown a spine, the number here is area code 516-418-5978. That's right, Jensen. You can call here. I'll be looking at the board all night, looking to see if there's a phone that appears on the board, a call that appears on the board with a Gainesville, Georgia area code, because I'm waiting for Jensen Franklin to answer some very, very important questions, which he refuses to answer. He's been ducking me. Listen, if there was ever a duck, it's Jensen Franklin. The guy's been ducking me now for over 2 years. For over 2 years, the guy's been ducking me, playing the invisible man on some days, playing Mr. Ostrich on other days, sticking his head in the sand. When he sticks his head in the sand, you know, I got to tell you, Jensen, your head is in the sand, but your fanny's up in the air. That's no way for a grown man to be living like an ostrich. The number here, area code 516-418-5978. Now, you know that this guy is never going to call in. He's too chicken. He's too much of a yellow belly sapsucker. That's what he is. That's what he is. And in addition to being retarded. But, you know, he's not that retarded in the sense that he may be retarded when it comes to the Bible, but when it comes to debating, he's not retarded because he knows that I'm going to mop the proverbial floor with him if he was to call the broadcast, only because he is such a heretical Bible teacher. This guy is, listen, the man is just plain stupid. Stupid. I call him, I've dubbed him the supreme leader of the retard costals. Not crazy costals. No, no, no. He's too stupid to be a member of the crazy costals. He is a retard costal, the supreme leader at that. Well, we've been doing this series on Jensen Franklin because he preached a dopey message called Jezebel's Children. And Jensen Franklin just can't stop talking about demons. It's demon this, demon that, demon under the bed, demon in the car, demon in the closet. Go up into the attic to put away the Christmas stuff and there's demons. Go down to the basement to see if the furnace is working and you'll find a demon. Go into your car and open up the trunk, there's a demon. Open up a can of peanut butter and there's a demon. Go get the jelly, open the jar of jelly, and inside the jar of jelly, there's a demon. Go put some wet clothes in the dryer, there's a demon. Put some dry clothes, dirty clothes in the washer, there's a demon. Listen, flush the toilet, there's a demon. The doorbell rings, and it's, you know, it's FedEx, but he thinks it's a demon. Everywhere and every time this guy turns around, he's blaming some demon. He's a pandemonist. That's what we call him in theology. His theological label is a pandemonist. This guy sees demons everywhere and blames demons for everything. And I just want to encourage you, my dear brothers and sisters, that as we do this series, I want to encourage you to continue to have your thinking caps on. In fact, I got a little song for you. Let me go to the song while we wait for Jensen Franklin to call in. And this is a primary school. In fact, this primary school is in Atlanta. In Atlanta. At some distance from Jensen Franklin. But this is the Falcons Primary School. And here are the children singing, "Put on your thinking cap." Now, why do you need to put on your thinking cap? I remember when I went to school and we used to sing this at assembly every day, "Put on your thinking cap." Why? Because the teacher would say, you have some thinking to do. When you're in your English class, you got some thinking to do. When you're in your math class, you got some thinking to do. When you're in your geography class, you got some thinking to do. When you're in your social studies class, and on and on and on all day long. And even when you're in gym. Even when you're running, or you know, when the coach has you running around the gym and doing sit-ups and doing push-ups, and you got to have your thinking cap on. Here's a little song. And listen, this is a song that they ought to be singing at Jensen Franklin's Free Chapel campus churches. All his churches should be singing this in praise and worship. All his members should be singing this song. It's simple. It's only a minute long. And really, this little clip, I'm only going to play 20 seconds. You mean to tell me that Jensen Franklin and his people can't sing this 20-second song? Here it is. Now, it only helps to put the thinking cap on if you have a brain. Only if you have a brain. Jensen Franklin is a lame brain. He's a pea brain. That's what he is. A pea brain, a lame brain. That's it. So it won't help Jensen Franklin to put a thinking cap on because once the thinking cap becomes activated and it starts working, it has nothing to work with because the brain is gone. But at least his church members can put their thinking caps on and they can sing this little song. And when you tune into this show, you know you got to have your thinking cap on because you get outlines. You get outlines. Now, let's go to today's outline, and everybody should have gotten their outlines. Listen, these outlines are free of charge. These outlines are yours free of charge. All you got to do is email me, Moses Henry Jones, and this is where you email me at. Email me at freechurchbooks@gmail.com, freechurchbooks@gmail.com, and say, Brother Jones, can I have the outlines that you are giving out so that when, as you're doing the teaching, people can follow, and you'll get them. Listen, and you'll get them, and that's it. Free of charge. The same way, if you want the Spirit of Python trilogy, the three-volume set, of books that I wrote on Jensen Franklin and his idiotic Spirit of Python teaching, his retarded, imbecilic, moronic Spirit of Python teaching. If you want the trilogy, again, just email me at freechurchbooks@gmail.com. If Mrs. Franklin, that's right, Jensen Franklin's wife, if she wants the trilogy, because maybe her husband hid the books from her, maybe when Jensen Franklin got the books at the church, he hid the books. Or maybe he drove to some lake or stream and threw the books in the stream, or maybe buried them in the woods so nobody could find out about the books. Well, Mrs. Franklin, if you want a copy of the trilogy, email me at freechurchbooks@gmail.com. I won't tell your husband. I won't tell your husband that you're reading the books. Same goes for Jensen Franklin's kids. Same thing goes for Jensen Franklin's church leaders, associate pastors. If his deacons want the books, if his elders want the books, if his church members want the books, email me at freechurchbooks@gmail.com and you'll find out what a wackadoodle your pastor is. This guy's nuts. He's nuts. Well, we've already done 10 broadcasts on this series, 10. Today's number 11. And I am currently dismantling pillar number 2. So now, this is where I want you to go. I want you to go to page number 33, page number 33 in your outline series, and you're going to have to scroll down. You're going to have to meet me where I tell you to meet me because we're starting on page 33. The title on top, Contending for the Faith with Moses Henry Jones, is in green. The broadcast number is 227. This is part 11, broadcast date 1-7-220. So again, you should be on page 33. So let me give you some time to get there. Page 33. This is broadcast number 227. This is part number 11 in this ongoing series. And this is broadcast date 1-7-2020. I am currently dismantling faulty interpretation pillar number 2, which Franklin claims that at death, Old Testament Jezebel's human spirit transitioned into a demonic existence. And let me repeat that again. Jensen Franklin has 5 pillars upon which he has based his Jezebel's children's sermon. 5 pillars. 5 columns, if you will. 5 exegetical columns upon which he has based his sermon. I claim that those 5 columns are faulty, that you couldn't build a house of cards on those 5 columns. I've already destroyed column number one in previous broadcasts. I'm in the process, I am currently dismantling and obliterating column number two. Column number two, Jensen Franklin claims, this is what this nut claims. He claims that at death, when Jezebel died, when Jezebel, who was Ahab's wife, she was a queen mother, a queen wife, she was married to Ahab, king of Israel, of the northern tribes of Israel, and she was his queen. And when she died, when the eunuchs threw her out the window, and Jehu's horses trampled upon her body, and the dogs ate her flesh, Jensen Franklin claims that at the moment that she died, her human spirit transitioned into a demonic existence, that she went from human to demon, that she went from human being to fallen angel. She went from a queen, wicked queen, to wicked spirit. And my claim, which is based on scripture, my argument, which is based solely on the Bible, is that at the moment of Jezebel's death, her spirit went to a place the Bible calls Hades. That's the place where she went to. Hades is what we call the intermediate abode. Man has three existences. There's the three existences of man. One is above ground, one is underground, and one is above ground again. Above ground is when you live your life on this earth. You live 60 years, 70 years, 80 years. You're above ground. The Bible says that God looked upon the earth. God looked at all of mankind, and God saw that the imaginations of men were constantly wicked and evil. Man was evil, continually evil, in the sight of the Lord. That's man above ground. But then the Bible says it is appointed once unto men to die, and after that, the judgment. Well, we saw in our previous broadcast that when a man dies, his body goes into the ground, his body is buried, but his soul and his spirit go to God. We laid this all out. So it goes to God to be judged. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. We saw that in the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. Jesus taught on the parable. He was the one who taught the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. When the rich man died, he was buried, and then we find his body was buried, but his soul was in Hades or hell. The King James Bible calls it hell, but the Greek calls it Hades. And then the poor beggar, Lazarus, he was in Abraham's bosom. He was in heaven. He was in paradise. So the wicked, the souls and spirit of the wicked in their disembodied state goes to an intermediate place called Hades. But the soul and spirit of the righteous in their disembodied state goes to the place called heaven or paradise or Abraham's bosom, whatever terminology you want to use. So we left off concluding once again that Jezebel died. The dogs ate her. Whatever was left of her, her skull, her hands, her feet, according to 2 Kings chapter 9, that was buried. But the other parts of her body, her flesh, her thighs, her rib cage, her intestines, her organs, her liver, her stomach, her heart, all that was eaten by scavenger dogs and later on pooped out. That's what happened. They pooped her out. She was dung upon the earth. But the dung was absorbed by the earth, so there is Jezebel on the face of the earth being absorbed into the earth. And whatever was left of her was buried, so her body's buried. But her soul and spirit are in torment and have been in torment since the day that she died. And her soul and spirit are awaiting the resurrection of the dead, when soul and spirit is reunited to one's body And that is a fantastic miracle of God when he can just take, you know, disintegrated body parts and a disintegrated person and reconstitute that disintegrated matter and reunite that body and then reunite that body to that soul and spirit so that they can stand before him in judgment. That's what's going to happen to Jezebel in the final state before she's cast into the lake of fire. So there's a place of torment, just like hell. It's called hell in English, but it's really Hades. And it's the place where people's souls and spirit get tormented if they died without Christ. So that's where Jezebel is. But Jensen Franklin wants us to believe that she's some spirit out there floating around, floating, and wreaking havoc because there's a Jezebel spirit. So I want this nut to repeat that. We played it again and again and again. I don't want you to say I'm putting words in Jensen Franklin's mouth. And Jensen, you can call here. The number is area code 516-418-5978. I make these constant appeals throughout the broadcast. This way, whenever he gets to tune in, he knows that I'm inviting him to call in because I like to ask him a few questions on the air. On the air. So, let's hear Jensen Franklin. Now, again, you should be on page 33. Get on page 33. The title on top is in green, Contending for the Faith with Moses Henry Jones. That's in green. The broadcast number is 227, part 11, broadcast date 1-7-2020. If you're there, hold on. I'm going to play Jensen Franklin right where he begins his sermon. And I want you to hear where this nut of a preacher tells us that Jezebel is not in Hades. Not that he would know that anyway, because he's a Bible college dropout. Not that he would know that, not only because he's a Bible college dropout, but because he never cracks open a book. So here he is. He's going to tell us, he's going to give us his introduction, he's going to tell us what his sermon is about, and then he's going to tell us where Jezebel is, when we know that she's not where he tells us she is, because she can't be, because she's in Hades. Who has the keys of that prison called Hades? Jesus does. He says, I have the keys of Hades and of death. Remember, we left off telling you, showing you the scriptures, where Jesus was both jailer of Hades and warden of Hades. No one escapes Hades. No one gets out of Hades until the day when God resurrects the wicked and reunites their soul and spirit to their bodies. Then they will stand before God. That's the only time that Hades will be emptied out, when God summons the wicked to life again. But here is Jensen Franklin spinning another yarn. Here he is.
I want you to look with me today in Revelation chapter 2, and I'm going to begin reading with verse 17. He who has an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. I don't have time to read that. Verse 18. And the angel of the church in Thyatira write these things. Says, who's saying this? The Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass. I know your works, love, service, and faith. Your patience as for your works. The last are more than the first. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you because you allow that woman Jezebel. I want all the women to relax because this is not that kind of a sermon. But because you allow that woman Jezebel, which is a reference to a spirit, really, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and to eat things sacrificed to idols. Listen to this. And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. And then I want you to really focus in on this. Verse 23. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches, notice this now, the minds and hearts. Everybody say minds and hearts. And I will give to each of you according to your works. Verse 26, he who overcomes what? The spirit that he just described. He who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him will I give power over the nations. He'll rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like potter's clay, like potter's vessels. What's beautiful about this is he said, in the end, I'm going to give authority to people who have been broken vessels. I'm going to give broken vessels power and authority to rule in mighty ways. I want to talk to you about something very different today that God laid on my heart that I believe is a word very much in season for our lives. I'm preaching today on Jezebel's children. We've all probably heard people refer to Jezebel, but I want to talk about that 23rd verse where he makes reference to Jezebel's children. And I believe the Lord is going to speak to us today. The first three chapters of the book of Revelation describe seven churches. And it is a picture and it gives the characteristics of what the end time church is going to be like. Seven stages of Christianity, seven prophetic churches. In most of those churches, there's things that Jesus himself complements, and there's things that he confronts and combats. And there are certain characteristics of those churches. For example, the Laodicea church had the characteristic of being lukewarm. They were lukewarm. They were not hot. They were not cold. They were just lukewarm. And then the church of Philadelphia is one of the seven that he names, and it was a loving church. And Jesus complimented them and spoke to John and said, there will be the love of God is needed in every church like Philadelphia, the church of Philadelphia has. But it was according to the seven personalities and characteristics working through the seven churches. Lean in, I promise this is going to hit you right where you live in. He said, now, in the church of Thyatira, there is something that you have done right, but then he shifts the focus and he says, but I have something against you because you're allowing Jezebel to seduce and bring sexual immorality into the church and into people's lives. Jezebel was a reference that goes all the way back to 1 Kings 18 and 19. She was a woman who married Ahab, and she was exceedingly wicked and immoral. And even though she had been dead for over 1,500 years, maybe up to 1,800 years, she had been dead, her spirit was very much alive in a new generation. And notice what he said. He said she had children. Every generation, the spirit of Jezebel will produce children. And these spirits, if you entertain them, if you shelter them, if you feed them, they will grow up. And that's why he said in the 23rd verse, her children have to die. You cannot, notice what he tied them to. You cannot allow them to dominate your mind. Did you catch it? They're after the reins of your mind and your heart to turn you away from God. And they come as small things, and if you feed them, shelter them, feed lust, shelter the characteristics that I'm about to give you concerning Jezebel. They will take over your mind, take over your heart, and destroy your life in every way. Jezebel has children. He's warning us. Jesus himself is warning the end time church that the predominant spirit that will come to the end time church will be Jezebel, and she will have children alive, even though she's been dead for 18 years. She will have spiritual children, demonic spirits alive that will attack families, marriages, homes, men, women, and it's going to manifest in their minds and attack their minds and their hearts. A spirit that had certain characteristics of this woman in the Old Testament who was married to King Ahab.
Well, there he is. He's telling us that Jezebel's spirit is somewhere out there. It's floating, and it visits the church, and it's visited the church of Thyatira, and it even had babies there. And, you know, so, and we look at the Bible, and the Bible says, no, when a man dies and he dies in his sins, God takes his soul and spirit, which are the two immaterial parts of man, and God confines them. He puts these wicked men and these wicked women, he puts their soul and spirit in a prison called Hades. The same Jesus that he's quoting there in the church of Thyatira is the same Jesus who said, there in the second chapter in the book of Revelation, he says, and I have the keys of Hades and of death. I'm the jailer and the warden. When men die, they must come before God for judgment. And then once they have a quick judgment, then the angels take their soul and spirit. If you died in Christ, you get to go to heaven. If you died without Christ, you get to go to Hades. That's it. That's the Bible. Simple. This nut claims, this ill-informed, moronic preacher claims that when Jezebel died, her spirit is out there floating. That she's a renegade spirit, she's on the loose, and she's wreaking havoc. And she happened to come to one of the churches that Jesus has, the Church of Thyatira. That's his church. That's why Jesus is there. And instead of arresting her, as Jesus would do, and throw her spirit and soul in Hades, he wants the pastor of the Church of Thyatira to deal with this spirit, according to Jensen Franklin. But this is nonsense. What's also nonsense is that this Jezebel spirit is having babies. That some way, somehow, this female demon, which there are no female demons, in fact, there are no female angels. No such thing. But he claims now that she's a female demon, and she's some way, somehow, hooking up with some other male demon, getting pregnant, and having babies. And now these babies are in the church, and church folk inadvertently are feeding them and are nursing them and making them grow up, and these little demons are becoming big demons. This is all according to Jensen Franklin's fairy tale. Clueless. All right. So let's go to our outline. Let's go to outline. Let's go there. Because now I am, again, going to show you, I got three more lessons on this second pillar, only to show you where Jensen Franklin picked up this notion. Now, he didn't get it because he studies. Jensen Franklin never cracks open a book. I've showed you that. He can't even read. Jensen Franklin lacks reading comprehension. He lacks complete reading. Listen, I can stop this audio tape every 5 seconds and show you that he lacks reading comprehension. Let me give you an example. Go to Revelation chapter 2. Let me just give you an example of how this guy lacks reading comprehension. Go to Revelation 2. Let's go read on the church of Thyatira, just to show you that when he reads something, he doesn't understand what he's reading. Okay. Now, Here we go. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 23, this is Jesus speaking. Revelation 2, 23, Jesus says, "And I will kill her children with death." Not that you and I are supposed to kill these little demons. The children being referred to here, according to Jensen Franklin, are little demons. And Jesus says, "I will kill her children with death. And all the churches will know that I am he which searcheth the reins and the hearts." Now, Jesus says, "I search the reins and the hearts." Now, I want you to listen to Jensen Franklin, because now he says that Jesus tells us that Jezebel and her demon children are after our reins and hearts. That's not what the text says. It says that it is Jesus who searches the reins and the hearts. Listen to this. You're saying, "Oh, he's nitpicking." No, no, no. This goes to my core argument. Jensen Franklin is illiterate. Listen, in order for you to learn, one of the things you have to master early on is reading comprehension. If you do not comprehend what you read, you're lost. And Jensen Franklin claims that the demons and Jezebel want to get the reins of our hearts and of our minds. That's not what the Bible says. It says that Jesus said, "I search the reins and the hearts." Now let's listen to Jensen. Let's listen to that little clip there.
"That the predominant spirit that will come to the end time church will be Jezebel, and she will have children alive, even though she's been dead for 18 years. She will have spiritual children, demonic spirits alive, that will attack families, marriages, homes, men, women, and it's going to manifest in their minds and attack their minds and their hearts. A spirit that had certain..."
It doesn't say that's not what the text says. That's what he's reading into the text. Jesus said, "I am he that searcheth the reins and the hearts." Jensen Franklin says these demons and Jezebel attack the hearts and the minds. That's not what the text is saying. So he lacks reading comprehension, lacks complete reading comprehension. There's so many examples of his lack of reading comprehension. All right, so let's go to faulty interpretation pillar number two. Again, Franklin claims that at death, Old Testament Jezebel, remember Old Testament Jezebel was thrown out the window by the eunuchs. Jehu's horses trampled over her body, turned her body into ground beef. Then the dogs came and ate her up and left only her skull, the palms of her hands, and her feet. That's all that was left. So that's all that was left of the body. But he claims that at death, her human spirit transitioned into another existence. And in this other existence, she morphed. She became a demoness. A demoness. An evil spirit. Okay. So point number one, we have the angelology of the elemental theology tree. The elemental theology tree. And, of course, we want to look at anthropology, eschatology, and the angelology branches. All right? And listen, I know I keep repeating this, but see, this is why people mess up, because they forget that they're dealing with theology and that the theology... theology can be compared to a tree with many branches, and that all these branches are interconnected as they make up this tree. And you cannot disconnect a branch from the theology tree, or else it's no longer theology, but it's just now crazy teaching. So now, what is anthropology? Well, let me remind you, anthropology. Jezebel, a tripart human being. What do I mean by that? Well, she had a body, she had a soul, and she had a spirit. Okay, Jezebel, a tripart human being who died and experienced the separation of her body, soul, and spirit. That's what happens when you die. When you die, your soul gets separated from your body and your spirit. We know that. We've already talked about this, but I need to remind you of Anthropos. What is Jezebel? She's a member of the human race. She's what the Greeks call an anthropos, a female member of the human race. And if she's a female member of the human race, she has a soul, a body, and a spirit, which at death becomes separated. The soul and the spirit go to an intermediate place while the body goes into the grave. Okay, eschatology. At death, Jezebel's human soul and spirit went to Hades, the intermediate abode of the wicked, and her human body returned to the earth, right? Oh, they buried her skull, they buried her hands, they buried her feet, and then whatever the dogs ate, they pooped it, they defecated, the dogs defecated, and the Bible says in the book of 2 Kings, the 9th chapter, the 31st verse, that Jezebel's body was dog dung upon the face of the earth. Okay, so that's how her body returned to the earth, because the dogs pooped her out. All right, and then angelology. At no time did Jezebel's human soul and spirit become a fallen angel, a demoness, a wicked spirit. At no time. Why? Why is that an impossibility? Well, because her human soul and spirit went to the place of the wicked. What place is that? It's called the intermediate place. What place is that? Hades. So at no time did Jezebel's human soul and spirit become a fallen angel, a demoness, a wicked spirit. Just not pot. Remember, anthropology, angelology. Anthropology is the biblical doctrine of man. Angelology is the biblical doctrine of angels. You can't mix the two. You can't mix angels and men, and you can't mix men and angels. Two different branches. Two completely separate branches. Okay, now let's go to point number two. Jensen Franklin has a demonic version of Jezebel. So we have to ask ourselves, where did Jensen Franklin get the bizarre idea that at the moment of physical death, human Jezebel transitioned into a demonic existence? Now, I told you, boys and girls, you're going to have your thinking caps on. And this is why I tell you, don't miss any of the broadcast. If you missed any of the broadcast and you're tuning in today, you're lost, because we've already covered all this ground. I've already given you 10 previous lessons where I have guided you little by little. We've taken a slow journey, and I've explained this stuff just systematically. I've done a systematic explanation so that nobody could be lost. In addition to that, you have these outlines so that when I'm off the air and you're not listening anymore to the broadcast because I'm done, you can go back in your spare time, read the Bible verses, read the information, check out my sources, look at the footnotes, and verify everything that I've said. Now, Jensen Franklin doesn't do this. He gives you no information. He gives you no leads. He gives you no theology. He gives you no Greek. He gives you no Hebrew. He gives you no history. He gives you nothing. He's clueless. So where did Jensen Franklin get the bizarre idea that at the moment of physical death, human Jezebel, and we have to emphasize, she's a human. Human Jezebel transitioned into a demonic existence. How did Jezebel go from human to angel? Explain that. Someone's going to have to explain that. Listen. We're not watching the movie It's a Wonderful Life with Jimmy Stewart, where humans die and then, you know, in Hollywood land, humans become angels and then they have to earn their wings. No, we're not talking. No. We're not talking about fairy tales. We're talking about Bible. Where did Jensen Franklin get the bizarre idea that at the moment of physical death, human Jezebel transitioned into a demonic existence? Where did he get that? Where did he get that? I can tell you, let me tell you where he got it. Because Jensen Franklin is a non-reader, and I've already proven that, he's a non-reader, I attribute his stupid notions about Jezebel's afterlife, angelic existence, on crazy costal parroting. Let me read that again. Because Jensen Franklin is a non-reader. Jensen Franklin doesn't read books. He wouldn't know where to begin. He wouldn't know what books to buy. He wouldn't know. He wouldn't know where to start. Remember, he's a Bible college dropout. And listen, if you're a dropout, you have a handicap. I'm sorry to tell you. If you are a dropout, you have a handicap. You have a theological handicap. You have a historical handicap. You have a linguistic handicap. You just listen, it's undeniable. Because Jensen Franklin is a non-reader, I attribute his stupid notions about Jezebel's afterlife, angelic existence, on crazy costal parody. What do I mean by that? Well, Jensen Franklin, for most of his ministerial life, has listened to other crazy preachers talk about this spirit and that spirit. And all he's doing is parroting like a bird, you know, like a parrot that learns how to say a parrot, you know, these parrots who learn to talk. And all they're doing is they really don't know what they're saying. They're just blurting stuff out. That's Jensen Franklin. He doesn't know what he's talking about. But he's simply parroting what he's heard other crazy preachers in the Pentecostal church say. And the Pentecostal church has been taken over by crazy costal preachers, crazy costal parrots in the pulpit, okay? These crazy costal parrots teach idiotic notions, and Jensen Franklin has picked up, heard, and he's copied these idiotic notions from other peddlers of error. That's what he's done. All Jensen Franklin is doing is repeating what he's heard from other preachers who are crazy, who have crazy theology, who make up stuff. That's all Jensen Franklin is doing. He didn't get this because he got a revelation. He's not preaching this. No. All of this about the Jezebel spirit, Franklin didn't start this. He's heard other people say it, and he's simply repeating it as though it was gospel. So I can tell you, because he's a non-reader, all of these stupid little notions that he pushes in this sermon about Jezebel and her afterlife and her supposed angelic existence as a fallen angel, as a demon, as a wicked spirit, all of this he's picked up, he's heard from others, he's copied from other promoters of error. This fact that he's done this repeatedly makes Jensen Franklin a babbler in the biblical sense. Now, what is a babbler? Well, the Greek word spermologos, Spermologos is found only in Acts 17:18. It came to be used as a noun signifying a crow or some other bird picking up seeds. Seeds in Greek is sperma, a seed, and lego to collect. Metaphorically, it came to be used of a man who picked up scraps of information and retailed them secondhand. A plagiarist, or of those who made a show of knowledge obtained from misunderstanding lectures. In other words, Franklin has heard about Jezebel, he's heard about her marriage to Ahab, he's heard about the Jezebel spirit, and he doesn't understand any of it, but he's put it all together the best that he can, and he's just like a crow who picks up this little piece of information and that little piece of information, and then he starts to talk, he starts to parrot, and all of it is just a ball of confusion. That's Jensen Franklin. That's what the Bible calls a babbler. A babbler is a spermalogos. That's what he is. That's what he is. He's got a little piece of information here and another little piece of information there. And this is why when you can't pin him down. Well, Jensen, tell us, when did Jezebel die? Well, it could be 1,500 or 1,800 years. He doesn't know. He's a spermalogos. He didn't put anything together. Listen, he's a bird brain. He's a pea brain. He's a lame brain. He's a bird. He's a parrot. He's a crow. That's all he's doing. That's what he is. That's how we would classify Jensen Franklin. A babbler is used of a man who picks up scraps of information and then gets up in the pulpit like it was his revelation. And he's retailing it secondhand. He didn't make this stuff. He didn't come up with it. He didn't do any research. He didn't go to the library. He didn't pull out any books. He didn't study. No. He picked up a little bit from here, and he heard this other person over there, and he heard this other person over there, and that's how he jumbled the sermon together. Little bits and pieces. He's a spermalogos, a babbler. That's how he came up with his demonic version of Jezebel. He missed out on theology. Listen, if I was to say to him, Jensen Franklin, I want you to teach your church elemental theology, he wouldn't know where to begin. He wouldn't know what textbook to use. He wouldn't know what to say because he's a Bible college dropout. My brothers and sisters, listen, it's just a fact. The man is operating with a major handicap. And the fact that he's allergic to books doesn't help him. I know lots of people who had to drop out of Bible college because they could no longer afford to pay tuition. But you know what? They went back home and they built their library and they kept studying. And you couldn't tell the fact that they're a Bible college dropout because they kept studying, they kept reading, they kept researching, even though they weren't in Bible college. And you couldn't tell. But you can tell this guy's a Bible college dropout. And listen, he knows nothing. He's a spermalogos. He's a babbler. He picks, like I said, and maybe I'm being redundant, but I need to drive this point home. And I'm going to drive this point home for the next three broadcasts. The guy just picks up a little thing here, a little thing over there. He picks up from this colleague. He picks up this idea, and he hears this preacher, and that's how he formulates his sermons. But when you really listen to him, he lacks reading comprehension. He doesn't know what he's reading, and he never opens up a book, and he never spends time. And don't tell me, well, you know, he's into fasting, and he's into the Daniel fast. And listen, forget that. Forget the Daniel fast. Crack open a book. When you stand before me, I want to make sure you know something, or else I'm not going to give you the privilege to stand before me. So now, let's go to point number three. Banned Jewish fables. Banned Jewish fables. The Apostle Paul says this. When he writes his epistle to Titus, he says, don't you give heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Whenever you listen to fables or the commandments of men, they turn you away from God's truth. Now, what is a fable? According to John Brown's Dictionary of the Bible, a fable is an idle and groundless or baseless story. That's what a fable is. There's no truth to a fable. There's no veracity to a fable. There's no foundation to a fable. A fable is a groundless story. It's like having a house with no foundation. If you have a house with no foundation, the house is going to come down. And that's what's happening to Jensen Franklin's sermon. It's coming down like a house of cards because it is a groundless sermon. It has these five pillars are all faulty. They're all faulty. In pillar number one, Jensen Franklin claims that the woman being spoken of in Revelation chapter 2 called Jezebel really wasn't a woman, but she was a spirit. And I showed you in pillar number one, no, she is a woman. We looked at the language. We looked at the original language. She's a gune, a wife, a mother, a daughter, a human being. That's what she is. A flesh and blood. She was a flesh and blood person, not a spirit. No. And we're looking at pillar number two. And again, pillar number two is this guy claims that when she died, she's floating out there, that she transitioned from wicked queen to wicked spirit. No. She's not running loose. She's not on the run. She's in prison, like all wicked spirits are, like all the wicked dead are. They're in prison, awaiting the resurrection from the dead, and only then will they be released from this prison, a horrible place of torment called Hades. Jensen Franklin is pushing a fable, a Jewish fable at that. I'm going to show you. It's a Jewish fable. Now, not because he reads Jewish books. It's not because he's cracking open the... No, I told you he's a babbler. He's gotten this stuff from other people, and that's why his sermon is so bad, because he's only got little bits and pieces, and this is why the sermon is so disjointed, and none of it makes sense, because like the crow who's out there picking a little seed corn here and a little bean over here, and it's all disjointed. It's a mess. He's got scraps of information. He doesn't have information. He's got little bits and pieces of information. And my brothers and sisters, you can't do much with bits and pieces. So, what's a fable? It's an idle and groundless story. Now, the popular and critical Bible Encyclopedia and Scriptural Dictionary defines a fable as, fables are referred to in the New Testament as inventions, falsehoods, 2 Peter 1:16 and 1 Timothy 1:4, and are called cunningly devised or foolish systems and opinions. If you're following a fable, you're following the invention of a man. Someone made it up, and it's a falsehood. That's what it is. Now, I want to talk to you about one of the fables in Judaism, one of the fables, okay? And this will give us an idea of basically where Jensen Franklin has been getting his notion that you can go from human to angel, okay? Again, I want to show you the connection between Jensen Franklin's sermon and Jewish heresy. All right, let's take, for example, the patriarch Enoch, right? Okay. Now, I'm going to take you to Genesis chapter 5. Go with me to Genesis 5, because I want you to see that Enoch was an individual. Okay, let's go to Genesis chapter 5. Okay, Genesis chapter 5. And it says in Genesis chapter 5, starting at verse 19, and Jared, who's an antediluvian patriarch, is a patriarch who lived before the flood, and Jared lived after he begot Enoch 800 years and begot sons and daughters, and all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was no more, for God took him, or God raptured him. Okay, this is the Enoch of the book of Genesis, whom God raptured, who was the friend of God, who walked with God. Well, now there is in Jewish folklore, in Jewish mythology, if you will, there is a heretical teaching about this Enoch. And this is the way it goes. The patriarch Enoch, after his translation, which I just read, which is in Genesis chapter 5, verse 24, and let me read it again. And Enoch walked with God, and he was no more, for God took him. So the patriarch Enoch, after his translation, Genesis 5:24, after his translation to heaven, he became Metatron, a top-ranking angel. Okay, now notice. Here's an example of a human being going from human to angel after they transition from this life to the next life. Here's an example, but again, this is not Bible. This is just Hebrew legend. And I want to show you the difference. This is what the Bible says here in Genesis chapter 5, verse 24. But again, there is a legend, there is a fable, there is a myth. And all those words are synonymous. Fable, legend, myth, which is a falsehood. A legend is a falsehood. A myth is a falsehood. A myth is an idle story. Is a story with no foundation, okay? So this story that I'm about to tell you about Enoch transitioning and becoming this angel named Metatron is part of Jewish folklore, Jewish myth, Jewish fables, which we are told in the Bible to stay away from. Paul tells Titus, do not give heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men, because they turn people from the truth. They turn saints away from the truth. So here is Jensen Franklin talking about a woman who was a real woman, the same way Enoch was a real man, and Jensen Franklin is following Jewish folklore thinking and teaching that a human can transition into an angelic being when they transition from this life to the next. That's impossible. Because, again, when the righteous die, they get to go to heaven. And they await the resurrection of their bodies. The Apostle Paul, when he died, did not become an angel. The Apostle Peter, when he died, did not become an angel. The same way Enoch, when he died, or Moses, when he died, or any of the Old Testament saints, Abraham, take your pick. None of the Old Testament saints who died, Sarah, Rachel, Rebecca, Hannah, the women of faith, none of those women, when they died, became angels, good angels, none. But in Jewish folklore, and there are certain Jewish legends and myths that teach that there are certain good people in the Bible who were human when they died. They became angels after their death. So let's read this. Okay. Let me read the first quote. In referring to Metatron, it says, it sounds like the name of some high-tech machine, but in fact, it is the name that Jewish legend, again, notice how I put it in bold, it is the name that Jewish legend gave to the Enoch of the Genesis story. According to Genesis, Enoch never died, for God took him, Genesis 5:24. The legend is that when he entered heaven, Enoch became an angel with the name Metatron. More than acquiring a new name, Enoch Metatron became a top-ranking angel. But again, my brothers and sisters, this is not Bible, this is legend. And what do we do with legend? We discard it, because legend has no biblical foundation. It's not based on the inspired word of God. All right, here's another one, Metatron. And this comes to us from the Concise Dictionary of Judaism. This quote, Metatron, the highest angel, identified with the Archangel Michael or with Enoch, who was transformed into a heavenly being, a mystic figure. That's from the Concise Dictionary of Judaism. All right. Looking at Hebrew myths from the book of Genesis, it reads, "The wise and virtuous Enoch also ascended to heaven, where he became God's chief counselor, henceforth known as Metatron. God set his own crown upon Enoch's head and gave him 72 wings, as well as multitudinous eyes. His flesh was transformed into flames, his sinews into fire, his bones into ember, his eyes into torches, his hair into rays of light, and he was surrounded by storms, whirlwind, thunders, and lightnings." But you see, this is all what? Legend. This is legend. None of this is real. That's just like saying, you know, Jezebel became a demon, and she's at the church of Thyatira, and she's wreaking havoc, and Jezebel is having children. All that's unfounded. All of that is baseless. You can't give me a Bible verse for any of that. And Jensen Franklin saying, "Yes, I can. I just gave you Revelation chapter 2, verses 18 through 29. And I will say to him, "Yes, you. That's what you're quoting, but your reading comprehension is lousy. Not only do you not understand what you're reading into the text. You're making stuff up as you go along because you are a babbler. You picked up certain ideas from certain people, not because you read any of these Jewish books, not because you delved into any commentaries or manuscripts. No. You don't read. You are a bird. You're a pea brain. You're a bird brain. You're a lame brain. You just pick up little things, and then you put it all together, and you stand before your people on Sunday morning, and you're giving them a bunch of baloney. All right. Let me read to you from the Encyclopedia Judaica. Metatron, Matarong, an angel accorded a special position in esoteric doctrine from the Tananic period on. Two different traditions have been combined in a figure of Metatron. One relates to a heavenly angel who was created with the creation of the world or even before, and makes him responsible for performing the most exalted task in the heavenly kingdom. A different tradition associates Metatron with Enoch, who walked with God, Genesis 5:22, and who ascended to heaven and was changed from a human being into an angel. In addition, he also became the great scribe who recorded men's deeds. This role was already delegated to Enoch in the book of Jubilees. Again, not the book of Genesis, my brothers and sisters, but the book of Jubilees, a book that was rejected by the church as not being inspired of the Holy Spirit. But in the book of Jubilees, in that book, Enoch was delegated with the task of writing the deeds of men. It goes on to say in bold, his transmutation and ascent to heaven were discussed by the circles who followed this tradition and elaborated it. In other words, this story has had an evolution. Different groups of people, different circles of people have sat down, studied this tradition, and then built on it, elaborated, added more baloney to it. And these are all my sources, my brothers and sisters. I document everything, okay? Only to show that Jewish fables have made their way into the Christian church, and this is why you have all of these, listen, my brothers and sisters, you have all of these demonic spirits in the church whom people say is this spirit and that spirit and this other spirit, and all these spirits have come from, for example, the Ahab spirit. I've heard people preach on the Ahab spirit. I've heard people preach on the Athaliah spirit. Other people teach on the Delilah spirit. Listen, my brothers and sisters, when Delilah died, her soul and spirit was cast into Hades. When Athaliah died, her soul and spirit was cast into Hades. When Ahab died, his soul, their spirits are not one. Listen, if you are following that kind of rationale, that a human spirit can become an angelic spirit, whether good or evil, whichever way you go, you are following Jewish folklore. You are following fables. You are following myths that have no basis in the Bible. All right, let's read on Metatron again. Metatron, archangel, who plays an important role in the Hekatlot mysticism. What role does he play? An important role in the Hekatlot mysticism. The name, also spelled Metatron, may derive from the Greek metatronos, the one throne with the one enthroned with God, from the Latin metator, the title of the officer who went ahead of the Roman army to prepare the camp, hence, more generally, a forerunner. If the latter is correct, then the term may have first been applied to the biblical angel of the Lord who led Israel through the wilderness. Three Enoch, not Enoch 1, not Enoch 2, but three Enoch, designates Metatron as the lesser Yahweh in contrast to God himself, who's the greater Yahweh, who withdraws from the world. The greater Yahweh withdraws from the world, leaving Metatron in charge. He is sometimes identified with the Archangel Michael, Israel's celestial representative. He has been compared to the Gnostic Demiurge and to the Christ, and the latter parallelism being reinforced by the idea found in 3 Enoch that Metatron spent part of his existence incarnate on earth as the patriarch Enoch. So there you have it. This is all Gnostic teaching. This is a fusion. This is a fusion of Jewish heresy and pagan or Gnostic or Gentile heresy. It's a fusion of the two. And this is what we have in the church. We have a bunch of Gnosticism mixed with what else? Mixed with Jewish heresy. All right. Metatron, the name of the angel who, though not mentioned in Scripture, notice, Metatron, the name of an angel, though not mentioned in Scripture. So where did you get this name? Though not mentioned in Scripture, plays a prominent role in both early and later angelology and mysticism. That's from the Masher Merkava, Kabbalah. And you know what the Kabbalah is. I mean, that the Kabbalah is just Jewish Gnosticism. Because there's Gentile Gnosticism, and then there's Jewish Gnosticism. Okay. He is variously identified with the Prince of the World, the Angel of the Presence, and Enoch after his ascent to heaven, and is described as the Celestial Scribe, the Lesser Yahweh, or one whose name is like that of his master, i.e. God. All right. The last quote here. The myths and legends of ancient Jewish angelology, and particularly busy with the angel prince who is known as Metatron. Metatron is the prince of the presence, the prince of the face, the prince of the world. Into the innermost chamber of the divine presence he is allowed to penetrate, while other angels only receive his commands from behind the veil. So, my brothers and sisters, as you can see, Enoch, if you follow Jewish mysticism, if you follow Jewish lore, if you follow Jewish fables, Enoch, the Enoch who's in heaven. By the way, he's in heaven as a human soul and a human spirit. He's in heaven, right? Enoch. But the Jews have him flying around. The Jews have him as an angel with 72 wings. The Jews call him the lesser Yahweh. Have you ever heard of anything more asinine? There is no lesser Yahweh. There's only Yahweh. You don't have different gradations of God. God says, I am the Lord, and like me, there is no other. Listen, no one compares to him. And God doesn't go on vacation and leave the world, leave the planet in charge of Metatron. That makes no sense. God has left us. God has walked away from planet Earth. God has walked away from the universe and has left Metatron in charge. No, no way. That's not the God of the Bible. But you see, this is what, look. When you study the Talmud and you study the Midrashes and you study with these people, that's all they want to talk about. All they want to talk about is fables. All they want to talk about is myths. That's what they want to talk about, but we want to talk about the Bible. Jensen Franklin wants to talk about Jezebel and the Jezebel spirit and how she's floating and how she's attacking the members of the Church of Thyatira and how Jezebel is having intercourse and getting pregnant and having little baby demons, and these little baby demons are being fed by the church members without the church members knowing it. My brothers and sisters, have you ever heard anything more crazy than that? Well, yeah, this, Metatron, is just as crazy. This is just as crazy. Now, let's look at our conclusion. Scripture is clear. Scripture is clear. No human being transitions into angelhood after death. Upon death, each man, each woman enters the intermediate state, a paradise called heaven for the righteous, and a place of torment for the wicked called Hades. The righteous and the wicked remain in their respective places until the day of resurrection. That's it, my brothers and sisters. Listen, if you follow the Bible, no human being ever becomes an angel. No human being ever becomes a demon. None. No righteous saint in the next life becomes an angel. And no wicked person in this life becomes a demon in the next life. That is not Bible. It's not. So, my brothers and sisters, we'll be back tomorrow because, again, we're going to follow this up. We're going to look at more Jewish folklore. We're going to look at what the Jews say about Elijah. And that's tomorrow's broadcast. And you're going to see that the Jews also have Elijah becoming an angel and how that's unscriptural. And as you can see, now you can see what is the source. Where is Jensen Franklin getting these crazy notions? Where is he getting all this stuff? Oh, you see, he's picking up little bits and pieces from people who are dabbling in Jewish myths, in the Kabbalah, in Jewish Gnosticism, and the church has been infiltrated by people who are pushing all of this nonsense, and people in the church are just gobbling it up. They're just eating it up like if it was Bible, but it's not Bible. It's just complete heresy. So we'll be back tomorrow. Listen, if you haven't listened to any of the other broadcasts, please do catch up. Don't skip any broadcasts. And like I said, if you want the outlines, just email me at freechurchbooks@gmail.com and tell somebody about the series. I love you. Tomorrow at 7 p.m., Lord willing. God bless you.